I'm John Batchelor, Professor Jonathan Adler, writing at Civitas Outlook for Civitas Institute on the most recent decision, Learning Resources versus the Trump administration, about tariffs. The sixth vote carried the day, rejecting the president's ambitions. The three votes, however, divided most compellingly, and Justice Kavanaugh, who heretofore has been considered a conservative government justice, dissented from the decision on the basis of he believes the president does have the power to impose tariffs. And then he pointed to other parts of the law from Congress. I think the particular one was 122 that demonstrate the president can use tariffs. Is that a persuasive case that he made? Because it looks to have given pointers to the administration where to go next.
Well, there are a couple things there. I mean, one, Justice Kavanaugh, joined by Justices Alito and Thomas, argued that the way we interpret statutes that implicate the president's foreign affairs powers should be different, that we should expect Congress to sweep more broadly and be less precise. Because we generally expect the president to be the representative of the country on the foreign stage. And so therefore, while he noted his agreement with the general approach to interpreting statutes articulated by the Chief Justice, he felt that this statute in this context meant the president should have more leeway. But then, as you note, he pointed out that there are many other statutes through which the president has the authority to impose tariffs. But there's an important catch. There are these other statutes. They do delegate to the president the authority to impose tariffs, but they often require either the making of particular findings before the tariffs can be imposed, or they require some degree of process before the tariff can be imposed. And this is one reason why the president hadn't used these other statutes before, because IEEPA is easier. And so it is true that the president will be able to impose or reimpose at least some of the tariffs, but he will have to go through some procedural requirements that he didn't have to go through before. He will be a little more constrained and certainly be constrained in his ability to adjust tariffs on the fly or, you know, as the result of a phone call or whatever else. And that difference will matter. And I would just lastly say, most importantly, if the president is relying upon the authority in these other statutes, the president will be relying upon the tariff authority that Congress actually gave him, with all the strings and bells and whistles that those statutes provide, rather than exercising the tariff authority that he wishes he had.
Professor, the puzzle for me watching this and reporting it was the way the president conducted his tariffs appeared whimsical, arbitrary, unpredictable. For example, there was one moment when the powers in Europe rejected the president's claim to Greenland. It's mine. I can take care of it. Whatever happened. And suddenly the tariffs went up from whatever they were to 50%, is my memory, something punitive. And that was, to say the least, confusing, but also suggested that there was nothing about this that Congress meant or intended. To change your mind momentarily, even with 122, it's up to 15%. The president said 10, and over the weekend he said 15, and then on Monday it was, well, we'll get back to 10. And there was nothing in the court about that, but it certainly is odd politics.
You're right, it's odd, and one has to think that the court took notice of this. So under IEEPA, the president is supposed to declare a national emergency and say that national emergency is the result of things that are occurring overseas. And if there is an emergency that justifies the use of the tariffs, you would expect the tariffs to be targeted, focused, tailored to the nature of the emergency that prompts their use. And instead, it appeared that the president was imposing tariffs based on his preferences and perhaps even on his whims. You know, he at least publicly stated that he'd modified some tariffs as a result of a phone call. The court didn't focus on that because, in general, the judiciary doesn't like to second guess the executive branch's claims of things like emergencies. We recognize that the president often has information about national security matters, things going on overseas that the courts don't know about. And so instead, so the court didn't want to ask those questions about could these tariffs actually be justified on that basis. But I agree with you that the court, some of the justices were probably a little unnerved by the way this authority was being exercised. And I suspect it gave the justices less confidence that the tariffs were really being used for the purposes that Congress had authorized.
We have a minute, Professor. And in general, I was taught the Constitution is a genius document because it's filled with checks and balances. Is that what we were witnessing in this whole affair, a check and a balance?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, under our structure, Congress writes the laws, and sometimes those laws delegate power to the executive branch. But if the executive branch exceeds the scope of the powers that it's been delegated, it is the job of the judiciary to point that out and to invalidate executive action that's unlawful if the proper case is brought before it. And that's what happened, and that's what the court did here.
Professor Jonathan Adler at the William & Mary Law School, writing Civitas Outlook for Civitas Institute on the most recent Supreme Court decision on tariffs. I'm John Batchelor.